You know, like St. Louis Rams become Los Angeles Rams. Tampa Bay goes from the Devil Rays to the Rays. You know, there are some things you just got to be careful that you can and cannot say. It's going to be a little difficult for some time for me to call both Oklahoma and Texas members of the Southeastern Conference. But by a vote of 14-0, they are now part of the Southeastern Conference, or as many people are calling it across the globe right now, the Super Conference that will reshape college football. Good morning to you. Starting lineup, 99.1, The Sports Animal. Tyler Ivins, Eric Kane, Chandler Through the Glass this morning at 656-9900, 1-866-656-9900. All right, let's get started there. I'm going to ask you a question that you feel like I'm kind of setting you up for, but don't let the tone of my voice fool you, Kaner, because I'm genuinely interested in this question. Are you surprised that it was a unanimous vote to get both Texas and Oklahoma into the SEC?
No, not one bit. You know, you heard the pushback. A&M didn't want it. You heard the pushback that Missouri didn't want it. I mean, I get all that, but you know, once you get down to the brass tacks of everything and you talk with your chancellors, you talk with your advisory boards and everything, and you see how much money is out there, it'd be silly to vote against it. Plus, you want a united front. You don't want to be the one SEC school that is against it because people keep receipts. This time last week, sure, A&M was throwing a fit, but by Sunday, they had kind of reached the acceptance stage of the grieving process. So, no, I'm not shocked whatsoever that it was unanimous.
Yeah, to all those points, and they're all excellent points, they're all very fair points, and I think that's the points that need to be made. Those are the points that need to be said because you want to be one cohesive unit, and I agree with that. I'm actually completely blown away that it was unanimous. I know that, like, when you look at it from a distance, you're like, of course they're going to vote unanimous because you don't want to be that one team that had that welcomes two new programs into your conference and it's sour grapes because to that reason, people don't forget A&M. I'm actually blown away that it was unanimous. I thought this had 13-1 written all over it. Or at most 13-1, but I thought 12-2 wasn't off the table. I 100% both thought Missouri and A&M were going to be like, hey, we had a Mike's Live agreement, and that was more of an A&M type of thing to try to keep Texas out of the SEC, to try to build a wall around that state for the conference alone. But no, when it was all said and done, I absolutely thought there will be one outlier. And if there's a second, we already know who the two are going to be, and it's going to be the most recent additions from a decade ago. Am I surprised now that it was 14-0? None whatsoever. But I wasn't 100% slam dunk that it was going to be a unanimous vote, no matter how much money was being added to a television contract, no matter how much finagling by ESPN allegedly behind the scenes. Yeah, I thought there was going to be a hangnail somewhere when I saw it was 14-0. You kind of had those, business will be business because The dollars and the decimals always make sense. But I was not 100% mailed lick stamp in the box that it was going to be unanimous.
I guess when I saw the statement put out by, I guess I had to be the president from Texas A&M. It was Sunday saying, you know, we had an agreement. This we wanted this, but moving forward, we're committed to excellence in the SEC. Yada yada yada. All this business talk, essentially saying, hey, we didn't want this, but we're done with this. We're moving on. We've accepted this, and you're going to get our votes. I interpreted it since Sunday moving forward that it wasn't going to be A&M. And I thought if it was going to be anybody, it would be A&M over Missouri. But moving forward, yeah, it's 14-0. And now all that's left, Tyler, is for Texas and Oklahoma to officially accept the invitations. And then we'll start things getting even more crazy this offseason to decide when they're going to officially be in the SEC.
Yeah, now it's all about how long can Bob Bowlesby murk this thing up, muddy it up in the court systems. You asked me yesterday what can happen with Bob Bowlesby or what's going to end up happening. Kaner, he can kick dirt on the table, but all you got to do is replace the china, and then it's back to, hey, we're still in the SEC. He's going to try to hold this up in court as much as he can because he wants to get his pound of flesh. It's not going to make a darn bit of difference. And if the AAC is really ready to come in and swoop in and take the other eight teams from the Big 12, whatever the wallpaper looks like when this is all said and done, I think that realistically next year you can start getting together a rotation that is including Texas and Oklahoma in the schedule. And if you don't have to wait till next football season, so let's say, for example, let's say they fall apart this year, okay? Let's say that this is the last year for college football. Is it too much of a... I wouldn't say it's too messy, but is it too ridiculous to think that now that these rules are going into play, Let's say the worst of the worst happens, okay? They pull the plug on the TV deal. Is it too ridiculous to think that they can't have something in order for the Big 12 and the SEC put together for basketball season?
Yeah, because I think the fiscal year's already started. So you can't just say, okay, well, football, we're going to do this, but basketball, we'll come over to the SEC.
Okay.
In my interpretation, because the new year is already started, it starts July 1st.
I'm kind of setting myself up for a joke here. Will you let me finish it?
Go ahead.
Oh, wait, they're not going to have something figured out by the fiscal year? Darn. That's going to be an awkward Big 12 SEC challenge. But nothing. Tennessee's still taking on Texas in the Big 12 SEC challenge, but it'll be kind of like an early conference game.
I did see that last night. I say this is going to be the most.
Boo me off the stage? Okay, fine.
The most awkward SEC Big 12 challenge yet this year.
Like, at least let Tennessee play somebody they're never going to see. Like, don't let them play Texas that they're going to see 14 times. That's going to make one for one hell of a trivia question, though.
But everybody's been wanting Texas for so long, and it's already been set up.
Yeah, but that storyline doesn't hit as hard as it used to now that... Brizzle's up in Marquette. Why can't I remember his name? Former coach of Texas. Shaka Smart.
Yeah. Oh, Smart.
Yeah. Yeah, yeah. The whole Barnes versus Shaka Smart thing, that storyline's kind of watered down now. Shaka couldn't stand the heat in Austin, so he left for Marquette, which, don't get me wrong, Marquette's a fantastic program. I've been a big fan of what they're doing in Milwaukee, but Milwaukee ain't Austin. And there's a reason why that Austin television market's now joining the SEC. 656-9900, 1-866-656-9900. Speaking of Austin, quite a few Texas basketball players went in the NBA draft last night. Oh, yeah, by the way, a couple Tennessee Vols went in the NBA draft last night, and one of them sliding out the board last night. What happened with Keon Johnson, and why did we have to wait till darn near 10:30 last night before we heard Keon's name? Didn't hear where he went, who he should have been drafted by, who was trading picks last night. Eric Kane, I'm sure, is going to tell you right out of the gate with a Tennessee Lottery sports update. 6:09 for your Friday on 99.1 The Sports Animal. Does this really work type look? How does this really play out look? Tyler Ivins, Eric Kane, 656-9900. Here on the Stanley Pinson Gates Hotline. Let's go ahead and give it to you. Last night, some people would say it was underwhelming. Some people would say it wasn't one of the most deep drafts in NBA history. Others would disagree, but this is what you do need to know. Kane already pointed it out during the update. You had to go back to the 70s the last time Tennessee had two first-round picks taken last night, but one of them you expected to be a lot earlier with one coming later. Kaner, they both came within about, call it 45 minutes of each other, but you had to stay up the midnight oil if you were going to catch both. Keon Johnson, as well as Jaden Springer. I'm reading four names on top of my screen right now. Late last night in the NBA draft.
I mean, this is it's a great time. The morning after, we always do this for every single draft. Why on God's green earth do we start a draft at 8:00 Eastern time? I mean, it's ridiculous. Okay, I mean, if you sit up and watch the whole thing with 2 minutes in between every single pick in the second round, I mean, you were up well past midnight, about 12:30. You know why? I was up well past midnight to about 12:30. It's ridiculous. Like, why in the world do we start this late? I can't stand it. But to your point, Keon Johnson slides. And we talked about it yesterday. He was a little bit all over. He was as high as 8 in a couple of the latest mock drafts. He was as low as about 21. He was not as low as, he's as low about 20. About where he was picked. They're right there at 21 by the Knicks and then traded away to the Clippers. So, you thought that he might get up there and maybe sneak into the back or to the last pick or two of the lottery. You thought he was probably going to be a mid-teens round pick, but he does slide maybe just because the offense isn't there right now. He can jump out of the gym. He's athletic. He plays a fantastic defense, and his upside is sky high in terms of the offensive game. But I think that's got to be why he slid all the way down to 21. But I mean, you just can't sit there and pick after pick after pick. He was the best available
right.
for so long. Ultimately, he goes to a place that I think he's going to fit in well with his idol, Kawhi Leonard. That was pretty cool by ESPN putting it up there, saying, you know, it was a soundbite from a couple, I don't know when it was. I guess it was a couple months ago, maybe, saying, you know, my idol's Kawhi Leonard. I look up to him and all that type of stuff, and boom, going to the Clippers.
Be careful. Look, I understand when they talk to these guys, Kaner, a lot of these guys have filler. They have these quotes, these hotkey comments that they can plug in of, oh my goodness, he did end up going to New Orleans, and his mother lived in New Orleans, and it's like, yeah, my mom's originally from New Orleans. Oh, look, that's probably why the pick was made there. But sometimes a lot of those guys, they have those standout moments during the interviews, and when it comes to that late in the pick, especially as far as that Keon was slipping, like, you immediately had to start asking yourself, all right, what did Keon say during interviews? Did Keon, did something come back? Did they, are they looking for more efficient shooting? Because why, it, you don't have those green room Aaron Rodgers, Brady Quinn moments like we get in the NFL draft. But immediately, when Keon Johnson's name was supposed to come up around 10 or 11, you get to the teens. Now you're in the back half of the teens. Now you're in the 20s, and you're like, what did they see?
And then
what
you had a guy from Duke that quit half season in because Duke was awful and got drafted right in front of him. I saw that. A lot of people were mad about that. I mean, I get it, too, but, you know, Jalen Johnson's a good prospect. But to your point, what happened there? Because he continued to slide and slide and slide. And, I mean, you know, he young, that's what you want in drafting an NBA player. He was a freshman, one and done. You know, we know his prowess. I think it's got to be just, and without knowing anything definitive on what happened in the interviews, and I didn't watch him play at the combine. I know he tested well, but, they play pickup and all that type of stuff. I don't know how he looked, but... I mean, it's got to be something offensively, I feel like.
Well, what you got to ask yourself is this. Now that the process is over, what are you going to do to help the Los Angeles Clippers that many believe could still win the NBA championship? Now, a couple of factors got into play last night. One, now the draft is over, what's everybody doing? They adjust their focus to free agency. Is Kawhi Leonard going to re-sign with the LA Clippers? All indications are, even though he's upset with the medical staff there after the knee injury, he's still going to re-up with the LA Clippers. Oh, yeah, and by the way, Los Angeles and the Dodgers weren't the only one who made a blockbuster deal yesterday. The Lakers are now getting their point guard. Option three, a lot of people thought, okay, how do you find a way to get Dame Lillard? If Dame Lillard isn't going to happen, then you just clearly go get Chris Paul. Oh, wait, Chris Paul is the head of the NBA Players Association. He's not going to take less than the $44 million max deal because, you know, you'd like to see that TV money continue to roll over. So they end up going to get Russell Westbrook. And, hey, remember those years of there's no way what you have in your trash? And, look, I'm not calling a player a trash. I'm not. Some people are going to hear this comment I'm making, and they're going to go, wow, listen to Ivins over here if they're not a superstar. We're in a superstar league, folks. If you're not in that category A, you're going to get traded as a B four times over to go get a guy like Russell Westbrook. And guess what? Russell Westbrook is still that A player and a point guard who – say what you will, he tried to mesh with Kevin Durant for a while, but I think things are a little different when it's Russell Wilson trying to mesh with Anthony Davis and LeBron James.
But then again, I feel like Russell Westbrook is that, maybe not that one player, but he's that one superstar that kind of nobody really wants. I mean, at least fans are like, I don't know if I want him on my team. I don't know if I want to go and play with him, even though he is tremendous. I mean, he's a triple-double machine.
About to say, he's incredible. I want somebody who averages a triple-double on my team.
But, I mean, you see so many fans saying, I don't want that. He's selfish. His inefficiency in shooting. He takes horrible shots. He's a ball hog, all that type of stuff. I mean, stats don't lie. I'll take triple-doubles all day. How is he going to mesh with LeBron James? How is he going to mesh with Anthony Davis? How is that going to work over there in L.A.? Just curious. Of course, he has experience playing in big three systems all the way back in the OKC. He played with superstars in Houston as well. Never thought that he was going to stick in Washington for an awful long time because, again, Washington is not going anywhere, and Russell Westbrook is a superstar. So I'll be interested to see exactly what this impact will be. The Lakers gave up a lot and also gave up some capital, the number 22 overall pick last night as well.
Yeah, so look, there's some people in – Emerson, come in here a little bit if you wouldn't mind, because I know you got your NBA guy didn't extend. I don't care what anybody says now these days, and I think perhaps maybe the storyline picks up a little bit more just based on the fact that Giannis Antetokounmpo just ended up winning an NBA championship, and where was he taken in the NBA draft? 15th overall. There's this narrative now in the NBA, and has been for some time, if you're not a lottery pick, if you're not a top 12 or top 10 selection, you're probably not going to get the best player in the draft. Especially last night, you see a team like the New York Knicks who were trading back to get multiple second rounders. Guys, I understand that Nikola Jokic this year was an MVP, and he was a second round pick. But my whole thing about all this is these guys, it doesn't happen all that often. Giannis falling to 15 doesn't happen that often. Jokic falling to a second round doesn't happen that often. Are you in an agreement, or do you see it a little different, Emerson, that look, once you get past that 12-15 mark, that 12-14 mark, you're probably not going to find a lot of value that a lot of people believe that you're going to. You'll find a nice role player. Those superstars aren't falling to 14 through 18.
To your point, superstars. Yeah. That's what the league is now.
I was going to say, you'll find value. You won't find superstars most of the time.
Your superstars are going to put up your bigger numbers. Obviously, a bigger role. You got to get that early in the lottery, or you're going to be just grabbing players that fill minutes, essentially.
So my point being, anybody who's like, yeah, but the Lakers gave up a first rounder for Russell Westbrook, you gave up the 22nd overall selection.
Yeah.
no sport, in my opinion, the first round pick is not as valued than in any other sport unless you get it at a certain top half. And guess what they have in the NBA now? Protected picks. If you get to a certain way, we're not giving you the number four overall pick because we needed to get, you know, just another trade where a lot of, off the top of my head, a trade recently where there were a lot of protected picks in it. When Kristaps Porzingis got shipped from the Knicks to the for the Mavericks. If the Mavericks kept being terrible once they acquired Porzingis, had that pick been top five, the Knicks weren't getting a top five selection from the Mavericks as it was protected. So anybody who was like, that's incredible, they got two first rounders for Kristaps Porzingis. Now it looks a little better for the Knicks because, well, Porzingis hasn't ended up being the superstar the Knicks thought they were letting go. But Dallas, Mark Cuban, not dumb, kind of had that force field of, we're going to protect ourselves one way or the other.
I'll agree with you there. Like, this is completely different from the NFL draft. I mean, the NFL draft, you have 32 teams selecting in the first round. If you're a first round pick, I mean, that carries some significant weight. I mean, you hear me and Will West talk about all the time about how, you know, you're not wanting to give up first or second round draft picks to trade for anybody, clearly, just because it's just huge capital.
Right.
But in the NBA, it's a little bit different because, again, the superstars usually are found in that top 10 range, top 13, 14, sometimes more. But again, there's some great value. I mean, we talk about another Tennessee player getting drafted last night, Jaden Springer, 28th. Is he going to be a superstar in this league? I do not think so. Can he be a solid player for years to come? I think so. Taking the back half of the draft. You know, Grant Williams, he's definitely not a superstar in the NBA right now, but provided a role for the Boston Celtics and played a lot of minutes the last 2 years for the Celtics, and he was a first-round pick. So you can play a ton of minutes. You can have a role. You can have a lot of value. Just likely you're not finding those superstars, you know, that late in the draft.
And that's Hurricane Tyler Ivins. Chandler Emerson, send us to the other side. We got to get to MLB trade deadline Friday. Massive deals going down last night. I expected to wake up early this morning to more massive deals, but folks, a little less than 12 hours away from the trade deadline, I have a feeling we're going to get a massive haul of guys being shifted from zip code to zip code. Who those teams could be, who those players could be, and what we saw last night on the other side. 99.1, you're listening to The Sports Animal. You're here, 656-9900, on the Stanley Fitz and Gaines Hotline.
You just showed me something at the break that I had, I mean, I was so dialed into every single pick. You know, big NBA guy over here.
Co-host.
Every single pick of the NBA draft last night. Yes, I knew about the baseball trades. Yes, I felt I caught up with all that, but there was a quote from Max Scherzer, former Nationals Cy Young Award-winning pitcher now in an L.A. Dodgers uniform, about picking the Dodgers over the Padres. Just incredible, and I missed it. Boy, it is trade deadline season in baseball right now, man. Here it is.
We'll get into that coming up momentarily because there are a lot of people out there who believe that Max Scherzer was all but locked up to go to the San Diego Padres.
I'm raising my hand. I mean, it's 4 o'clock Eastern time. It was almost a done deal.
Was it Oldie who had it first or Pat? An MLB insider. That's how you get by with this stuff. They're all under the same umbrella. When it was all said and done, there were a lot of people who looked at some of the comments that were being made yesterday, and essentially it was a choice between San Diego and Los Angeles, and we'll just leave it to this. Max Scherzer chose Los Angeles over San Diego because of, well, there are some likable personalities and there's some non-likable personalities, and that likable personality is not named Manny Machado. We'll just say that.
Even though L.A. is still a slum.
He didn't want to be around a guy who puts a spinning chain around your neck. All right, so the rivalry between the Padres and the Dodgers just went to a whole nother level, and the reason why, Padres thought they had a deal done, L.A. stepped in. In fairness, when you look at this deal overall, a lot of people are going to say simply this. What happened? How can you do it? Here's what I'll say to you. The initial reaction by me last night, when I saw what the return was for Max Scherzer, Trey Turner, was, you've got to be kidding me. How does a team like the Dodgers continue to get richer and not have to give up as many prospects? But then you look at the overall deal so far this year, Kaner. Rental players are not going as high as they used to. There were great players sent back, but I think a lot of that haul had a lot to do with the controllable years of Trey Turner, not so much the controllable 2 to 3 months, if you want to call it. I'm assuming the Dodgers go to the World Series, so I added a month that they're getting out of Max Scherzer.
Yeah, Scherzer is going to be a two to three month a rental. Trey Turner is locked in through at least 2021. You had Anthony Rizzo go from the Cubs to the Yankees. He can be back with the Yankees through 2021 as well. Love the team option there, so you know they're going to pick that up. And then Schwarber goes from the Nationals to Boston late last night, 25 home runs, 53 RBI, and he's hitting 255 on the season. Schwarber's having a great year, man. The Cubs should have re-signed him, but he will be a free agent at the end of the season. So a lot of guys moving on and going, trying to, you know, up the pennant race. And I think you look at the NL West, man, where you got the Giants, you know, you got the Padres, you got the Dodgers. I mean, three teams that are probably all three going to make the playoffs. Man, the Dodgers, when you have Cody Bellinger, and I know his OPS is down a little bit this year. When you have Cody Bellinger now likely to platoon in left field, I mean,
say that again. Former MVP, yes, platooning.
Yes, in left field. It's incredible. I mean, there's you got a superstar almost at every single position, or a former superstar. I mean, the Dodgers, goodness gracious. And with Trevor Bauer getting, I mean, you solved that by bringing in Max Scherzer right now.
Let me ask you a question, because I think, and this happens every year, because a lot of people who are in smaller or medium markets, they start squalling, they start squawking, and you know what? They're not wrong. They got a point, but that's kind of the world of baseball we live in. When you see trades like this, is this where you start asking for a salary cap in Major League Baseball?
I've never been really for it.
Even you as a fan of the Atlanta Braves, that is considered a medium market team.
Yeah.
Medium. There are some people who are like, goodness gracious, I wish this ownership would spend more money, talking about Braves ownership.
Yeah.
But they've, even when Ted Turner was here, and the multi-billionaire, you never saw him kind of, you know, pot boiling over.
Yeah,
you would think with the Braves formerly owned by a guy who owned TBS, had his own television network, that's when he should have been spending a lot of money. Granted, he was spending a lot of money, but not to the level of some of the big competition like Cubs, WGN,
mm-hmm,
Yankees. Yes Network.
Yes Network.
There were only two or three networks that were tied to baseball teams in the 90s. Cubs, Yankees, Braves. Yes, there were other, but not as large as what was being, mm-hmm, sent across the signals across America. So the Braves were spending a lot of money in the 90s, but not to the obnoxious level that money's getting to today. So like if you try to like fast forward everything to 2020, mm-hmm, 2021, they weren't spending the equivalent of mid-90s money in 2021. You get what I'm saying?
Oh,
they weren't drunken sailors.
Yeah.
Point being, though, do you believe, even as a team of a medium market, and you see the Dodgers getting richer at kind of a significant cost, that perhaps maybe that there should be some type of change when it comes to payroll flexibility?
I mean, I understand why the argument should be yes, but I'm still no. I guess I just look at it like business is business. You can go out there and better your team. Go out there and better your team. We see it. If you want to combat that, I mean, it's a slow process, but learn to scout better, get better developers, all that type of stuff. I'm still no, but I completely get the understanding why most people would say yes.
Okay, so look, there's a lot of Cubs fans here in the area for a reason. Anthony Rizzo has been shipped off. He's going to be a New York Yankee.
And he was the one that everyone's saying, okay, probably everybody's going to be gone, but they're not going to get rid of Anthony Rizzo. Talked to lifelong Cubs fan last week, Jay Lyford in Hoover, Alabama. He's like, yeah, most likely Bryant's going to be gone, Baez is going to be gone, all these guys, but they're not going to get rid of Rizzo. They're not going to get rid of Rizzo at all. I mean, that's, you know, really in the last, you know, couple of days, just kind of snuck up on everybody.
I talked to a friend of mine who works for the Score in Chicago. He's been covering the Cubs for 14 seasons. And I texted him last night while I was watching a movie, and I just simply said, are they changing who the franchise face is now with Rizzo gone in New York? And he replied back, no, I anticipate they're all gone. So they went from,
wow,
Rizzo's the face. Oh, no, we traded Rizzo, so we're keeping Bryant. Oh, no, we're keeping Baez. He said, I 100% believe Chris Bryant's gone by the deadline tomorrow. I am 80%, 85% sure both Bryant and Baez are gone. If one of those two stay, it isn't because they're becoming the face of the franchise. It was because they did not get back what they wanted.
You see him obviously taking the time, going, Anthony Rizzo, going around Wrigley Field taking pictures, walking out of the stadium, standing ovation, fans wishing him well in New York. I mean,
he's a great guy. His story's awesome.
Yeah, his story's awesome.
Cancer survivor, came up through the minors after a deal with San Diego.
I mean, he's been the captain of that team, heart and soul of the team, back in 20, best team in Cubs history. A likable guy, obviously. And that's just, man, again, that gave me goosebumps. I'm not a Cubs fan. That gave me goosebumps watching that scene on ESPN last night.
Do you believe things will be just as hectic today as it was yesterday? Or was was that 7-hour period between, I don't know, what do you call it, happy hour and midnight last night?
In my opinion, it's going to be hard. I mean, you might see more trades, obviously, but like, you know,
All-stars. Last night was blockbusters.
I mean, that was ridiculous what happened yesterday. So, it's going to be hard to beat that.
That's Eric Kane, Tyler Ivins. Why did Keon Johnson slip last night? He went from a lottery pick to 21 overall. Jaden Springer, 28 himself, but the Vols still made history, something they hadn't done since the 70s. I'm not going to kill the lead. How about a Tennessee Lottery sports update? Kaner's got it for you now on 99.1, the Sports Animal. Because great Friday morning to you. We made it. I understand there's still a work day to get through, but hey, Friday morning, no better time. Throw a smile on your face. Get into the car, get to work, get your day over with. Eric Kane, Tyler Ivins, 656-9900, 1-866-656-9900, because the next time you get back to work on Monday, it will be the month of August. And hopefully your pockets will be a little bit fuller. A lot of things we got to get into, and it begins with the final segment of your Friday work week. We do it. It's called To the Window, and it's happening now here on The Sports Animal. Eric Kane, I usually let people go first, especially when they sit across from me. It's kind of just my gentlemanly way, my well-mannered way. But I feel like that you're the type of person who is going to be okay with me going first this week, kind of like, you know, handing the honors over to me. So if you don't mind, I like to pound my picks out, get out of the way, unless, of course, we have similar picks.
You know what? I do mind, but go ahead.
You do? Look, if you're hardcore about it, man, give us what you got. Go ahead.
Kick us off here. You got it. Yeah.
All right. The grand total, by the way, for those of you keeping track at home, we are now 95-62-3 on the year. 95-62-3. So Eric Kane has done his part as well. Three picks coming up for him. We'll get started, though. Right now, this is what you need to know about today's game. The one that is just absolutely with a bullet you got to love. How do you not like the New York Yankees tonight? They're going to be on the road in Miami. Yes, they lose the designated hitter, but they're still going to be their first game with who? Anthony Rizzo and Joey Gallo in that lineup. So you're likely not going to have Giancarlo Stanton in the lineup, but you're going to have Luke Voit. You're probably going to have somebody in the combination of Aaron Judge, Gleyber Torres, Miguel Andujar. I can keep going down the list. Point is, though, tonight, I like the Yankees' money line tonight. You can still score them at -130 in a lot of books tonight. Pick number two for me today as well. I'm going back to the well. We missed it yesterday riding with Ivins, but I like the Chicago White Sox run line today against the Cleveland Indians. This Indians team is selling all their players out the door. This is going to be a shell of what they look like all year. Plus, the White Sox, they've had Cleveland's number all year. So play number two, White Sox run line today, especially with the money line so large. Why pay that expensive premium number when you can get it? You still get the run line at a decent number right now, -120 with the White Sox -1.5. And a one that's a little bit up in the air, but I'm going to take just because how hot they are right now. And that's the Milwaukee Brewers. They're having Hank Aaron weekend down in Atlanta. Both franchises celebrating the life of Hammer and Hank. I like the Brewers tonight on the money line to go to Atlanta and get a W over the Bravos. Nice little 3-5 against the Mets over the weekend, but this is a Braves team that's going to need to find consistent pitching if they're going to stay alive. I like Milwaukee to be able to carve through Atlanta tonight on the money line. So once again, Yankees money line, White Sox run line against Cleveland, and then the Braves tonight back at home. I think they fall short, so take the Brewers money line in ATL, Eric Kane.
Yeah, so we got similar picks right here. We'll go with the White Sox. Give me -1.5. You got 105 for is where the juice is. Lance Lynn, 10-3 on the year, 167. He's given up one earned run in each of his last four.
You're taking the White Sox run line as well?
Yes.
Okay.
Over the Indians because the Indians are just bad. So that's where we're similar. Give me the Tigers money line against the Orioles. It's Matt Harvey Day. He's pitched pretty well in his last three outings, but still, it's Matt Harvey. Tyler, you know best. Tigers won eight at home and scored an average of 6 runs at home. And taking the Tigers and their bats at home, it's just one of the worst pitching staffs in baseball. So give me the Tigers money line against the O's. And last up, give me the Dodgers -1.5 against the Diamondbacks. You got Tony Gonsolin going for the Dodgers. Pretty solid ERA on the season going up against Zach Gallen, who has been just not very good this year. 1-5, 4.80 ERA. Gallen hasn't won since April and has an 8.49 ERA this month. Gonsolin's only allowed 3 earned runs this month, and Dodgers have won the last 2 games in this series by a score of 29-5. Also, Dodgers' third-best road offense, it's going to feast on Gallen. So I will take the Dodgers at -1.5. I will take the Tigers' money line
And I will take the White Sox minus 1.5. And that is my to the window picks here on a Friday morning.
Chandler Emerson, you know what? We got a little time here before I got to shout to New Balance Knoxville. You want to throw one in here quickly?
Let's head to the NFL.
Okay.
We have a...
Oh, wait, you're serious.
I'm so serious. AFC South Division future. So you have Ryan Tannehill with a great QBR. I'm not a Titans homer at all, but you're going up against my former Carson Wentz. I'm taking the Titans all day long. Grab that now.
What? I don't even know what the number's at. What's the
plus
money?
It's plus 115, so it's still plus numbers. But, I mean, who are you? Titans competing with the Colts?
The Titans are competing with the Colts, yes, because Deshaun Watson.
Why are you poo-pooing that Indy defense?
I feel like it should be a boat race. Don't get me wrong.
On paper, immediately, if you told me Titans or Colts, I'll just knee-jerk reaction Tennessee. But
I would still, I mean, if you're comparing, I mean, Colts defense is pretty solid, but I would still take Titans offense over Colts defense if it came down there to it. Plus, I don't like them like Chandler. I mean, I like Carson Wentz, but I'm not super confident in the guy. So, I mean, I'm on board with you. Plus, that's, you know, you got Derrick Henry, who's the second highest rated running back in Madden this year. Joke.
Ad Julio.
Yeah, I like it.
New Balance Knoxville in the Suburban Shopping Center. I like to call it Cinderella's Castle. Why? Because it's the perfect fit every time. If you're looking for fashion, if you're looking for style, if you're looking for something more than just the number on the tongue, you're looking for the width, perfect size each time. They give you the foot test to make sure that every time you step, you're stepping in New Balance Knoxville territory. Give them a look, especially when it's back-to-school shopping. Isn't it tax-free weekend? You're dang right it is. Stop by, see our friends in the Suburban Shopping Center at New Balance Knoxville. So, what do you need to know about Texas and Oklahoma officially in the SEC? Keon and Jaden, they both go first round last night. Future of Tennessee basketball, what does it look like with Rick Barnes continuing to recruit talent to Knoxville? You're listening to The Sports Animal. Stick with us.